You've crushed it. You've built real wealth. But let us ask you something. If you stepped away today, how long will it last?
For many successful families, the uncomfortable truth is this. What they have built works because they're still in the center of it. Right now, your wealth may be strong, but is it complete?
At the Kitty Sisters, we see wealth as a system built across 5 layers. When each one layer is missing, wealth doesn't fail immediately. It fractures quietly. You don't feel it day to day until scale, complexity, or time exposes it.
That's exactly why we created the Where Wealth Breaks assessment. It maps your current wealth against the 5-layer legacy cake, revealing the gap between where your wealth stands today and what it needs to endure beyond you.
Ready to find out where your wealth breaks? Take the assessment now at wherewealthbreaks.com.
Imagine knowing clearly and objectively which layers are solid, which relies too heavily on you, and which haven't been built yet. Because building wealth and keeping it require different systems.
This isn't about chasing returns. It's about strengthening the system, holding them together. You've made it. Now the question is whether your wealth is layered, governed, and structured to last.
Ready to find out where your wealth breaks? Take the assessments toward building multi-generational freedom at wherewealthbreaks.com. That is wherewealthbreaks.com.
The end of the American empire could be 2026. We're so deeply in debt. They're printing $1 trillion every 100 days. And if the stock market crashes, if you get cleaned out, who's going to save you?
That's Robert Kiyosaki, author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, one of the most watched financial voices on the planet. Now, here's what nobody's saying out loud. Kiyosaki has been predicting this exact crash since 2002. 24 years, 6 recessions, 3 bull markets, and 1.5 pandemic. Still calling it. And honestly, it doesn't matter if he's right or if he's wrong. If 2026 is the year, or 2027, or 2031. Because the question that actually matters, the question that decides whether you end up buying the assets on sale or being the assets on sale, has nothing to do with the year on the calendar. It has everything to do with what you own when the music slows down.
Hey, we're Palmy and Nancy Kitty, the Kitty Sisters, and we're here to help you turn earned income into own income and build what actually lasts.
From a $2,000 bank account to nearly $500 million in real estate assets, earning our way into rooms we once never thought we belong in. Along the way, we learn success isn't just about making it, it's about making it last.
Here we share money, real estate, and investing strategies, but more importantly, we talk about the systems and decisions that create legacy, certainty, and continuity.
If you value speed, convenience, and execution certainty, and if you're building not just for yourself, but for the generations after you, you're in the right place.
This is the first of the family podcast.
My name is Palmy Kitty, the other half of the Kitty Sisters. My sister Nancy and I have scaled to nearly $500 million in assets, returned $45+ million to our investors, and helped families preserve $100+ million in taxes. We don't predict the year. We build for every year. But here's something most people don't realize. In 1971, the year Nixon took the dollar off the gold standard, the rules changed. The printing press got switched on and it has not been switched off since. Today, the US government is printing roughly $1 trillion every 100 days. Just to put that in human terms, if you spent $1 every minute, it would take you 32,500 years to spend a single $1 trillion. The Fed prints that in 3 months. This isn't a forecast. This is the present tense. The room got warm in 1971 and it hasn't cooled since. The only question is what you've been holding while the room heats up. In the next few minutes, we're going to talk about 3 things. One, why the people calling themselves safe right now are the ones being crushed the hardest and they don't even feel it. Two, the divide between earning and owning that almost nobody is teaching correctly. Three, how to architect a balance sheet that doesn't survive the next reset. It gets fed by it. Stay with me. Picture an ice cube on a kitchen counter. Room is warm, not hot, warm. You walk in and you see the ice cube. You walk out. You come back in an hour, half of it's gone. You didn't see it melt. You didn't hear it melt. There was no evidence, no headline, no dramatic moment. It just got smaller. That ice cube is every dollar a saver is holding right now. Inflation is not a crash, it's a melt. And melts don't make headlines. The retiree with $800,000 in cash and CDs 3 years ago, their cube is smaller, materially smaller. Roughly 20% of the purchasing power, it's gone. Not in a dramatic event, just in a slow, warm of the room. The 401k holder who stayed safe through every recent dip, their numbers might be up. Their purchasing power is down. They are looking at a smaller cube and reading the label and saying, it's bigger. This is what nobody is saying clearly enough. The savers are not safe. The savers are being crushed. They're just crushed quietly. If you think this is new, it isn't. In ancient Rome, the silver denarius was the most trusted trusted currency in the known world. Under the Emperor Augustus, it was nearly pure silver, a coin you can bite into. Then Nero needed money for wars, so he reduced the silver content just a little. Nobody noticed. The next emperor reduced it more, and the next, and the next. By the time the Emperor Galerius, 200 years later, the denarius was less than 5% silver. The face on the coin hadn't changed. The weight hadn't changed. The name hadn't changed. Romans were still calling it denarius. They were still putting it in their savings. It was a copper slug with a wash. Rome didn't run out of silver. They just put less of it in the coin. By the time anyone noticed, the empire was already over. That's not a metaphor for what's coming. That's a description of what's already happening. To every dollar in a saver's account, a CD, a money market, or a long-dated bond, the face of the bill hasn't changed. The buying power has. The room is warm, the cube is melting, and the coin in your pocket has less and less silver in it every year. Here's the principle. Cash is not safety. Cash is exposure. A savings account, a money market, a long-dated bond, these are climate-dependent instruments. They work beautifully in one specific economic weather pattern. The moment the climate changes, and right now, every variable is moving. The cube keeps melting. The denarius keeps debasing. And the savers keep reading a label that says they're winning. This is the part most people miss. The 401k holder isn't being reckless. The saver isn't being foolish. They're doing exactly what the system told them to do. But here's the uncomfortable truth. The system told them how to be safe inside of one specific kind of weather. Being safe inside a structure built for one climate while the climate changes, that is the most dangerous position you can be in. The real victim of the next reset is not the person who took too much risk. It's a person who thought they were taking none. So what does this principle demand? Stop measuring your wealth by what the account balance says when the weather is calm. Start measuring it by what survives when the climate breaks, which means the conversation has to shift from how much do I have saved to what do I actually own. And here's where it gets uncomfortable, because most people who think they own things don't. Right now, while you're watching this video, every photo you sent today, every text, every call, somebody got paid. Not the carrier, not the phone company, the owner of the cell tower. Every time a signal hops across a network, the tower owner takes a piece. They didn't make your phone. They didn't write your app. They didn't sign you for the plan. They own the infrastructure the signal has to pass through. You pay the phone bill, the carrier pays the tower owner. The tower owner gets paid forever. Same signal, same call, two completely different relationships to it. You have access, they have ownership. Now zoom out further. There's a river running through the middle of a valley. For generations, your family has lived along the river. You drink from it, you bathe in it, you water your crops with it. You feel like the river belongs to you, but you don't own the river. You don't even own the water. What you have is access. And one day, maybe 5 years, maybe 50 years, someone upstream decides to build a dam or divert the flow or sell the water rights to a country halfway around the world, and the river dries up. You did nothing wrong. You drank the water that was there. You followed every rule, but you never owned the riverbed. Here's the principle almost nobody is teaching correctly. Earners drink from the river. Owners hold the bed. Most high earners, doctors, lawyers, executives, founders pulling 500K, a million, 2 million a year, think they're on the winning side because they're drinking premium water. They are, maybe. The water is maybe better, but the riverbed isn't theirs. The market is the river. The dollar is the river. Wall Street is the river. Your paycheck is the river. You can earn $2 million a year and own almost nothing because earning is access. Ownership is structure. A high salary is a high quality straw. It's still a straw. The day the river moves, every dollar of winning disappears. You don't want to drink from the river. You want to own the riverbed. That's the whole game. That sentence right there is the whole game. So the strategy isn't to chase a bigger straw. It isn't a better salary. More hours, more clients, more deals. The strategy is to redirect what you're earning into bed, into things that produce water on their own, regardless of what the upstream river does. Tangible income producing assets. Multifamily real estate, cash flowing operating companies, real income infrastructure that's tied to the real economy, not the paper economy. These are not assets you bought. These are positions you hold. Tell me in the comment what percentage of your net worth is in bed right now versus the river. Be honest with yourself before you tell me. But here's the thing about owning the riverbed. You can own it, but still get destroyed because the riverbed itself isn't enough. What you build on top of it is. I want to take you somewhere most people will never go. 12,000 feet down, bottom of the Pacific. No sunlight has reached this place in the entire history of life on Earth. Pressure that would crush a submarine like an aluminum can. Water laced with sulfur and toxic chemistry that will kill every living organism you've ever heard of. And in the middle of this, life, entire ecosystems, two tapeworms 8 feet long with no mouths and no stomachs. Bacteria that eat sulfur the way that you eat sugar, crabs, and shrimp cluster around volcanic vents, shooting water at 700 degrees. These organisms didn't survive the harshness. They run on it. The toxicity that kills everything else, that's their food source. The pressure that crushes everything else, that's their structural stability. The volcanic chaos that destroys everything else, that's their energy supply. In the harshest, most volatile environment on the planet, they are the only thing alive, and they are not just alive, they are abundant. Here's the principle. The architecture that wins long-term is built to be fed by chaos, not protected from it. Most portfolios are built for the calm middle, a 60-40, an index fund, a target date retirement fund. These are sunlight organisms. They photosynthesize off of a stable economic climate. The moment the sun goes out, public market corrects, currency wobbles, credit tightens, they have no other energy source. The vent portfolio is different. It's positioned where most things die, and it runs on things that would kill other organisms. You don't want a portfolio that survives a crash. You want one that is positioned to be fed by it. When credit tightens, real assets keep cash flowing. When the dollar weakens, rent reprice up. Debt gets inflated away. When public markets correct, private real estate transactions pick up at distressed prices. When the news cycle is screaming, people with vent-style balance sheets are quietly buying. The chaos isn't the threat. The chaos is the feed. So what does the vent portfolio actually look like? Three things let an organism live where others die. One, an energy source independent of the sun. Tangible income-producing assets that generate cash flow regardless of what the public market does. Multifamily, operating businesses, rare economy assets that doesn't depend on Wall Street's mood. Two, symbiosis. Tapeworms don't survive alone. They survive in partnership with the bacteria that process the chemistry for them. That's operator alignment. You don't go down to the vents alone. You partner with operators who have spent decades learning how to metabolize the environment. Sponsor quality is everything. Three, positioning at geological feature itself. The vents exist where Earth's plates meet. They're not parked in a random ocean. They're built on top of a permanent geological structure. That's policy-friendly assets, housing, energy, infrastructure, the things every administration, every cycle, every economic environment is structurally built around, not against. The reset is going to come. The year on the calendar, well, we'll find out. But if you're built like a vent ecosystem, the year doesn't matter. You're already where most things can't survive. I want to tell you something honest. The gap between earn and own isn't a financial gap. It's a time gap. Every year you stay on the earn side is a year the people on the own side are compounding without you. A year that the riverbed gets bought by someone else. A year your ice cube sits on the counter while you read the label that says it's bigger. A year a little more silver gets put into the coin in your pocket. I've watched this happen to people I love, people who earn more than I've ever earned, who worked harder than I ever did, who did everything right by the system's playbook. And one decade later, the system kept the playbook and they didn't keep the weather. That's a part that stays with me. Because if Kiyosaki is right about 2026, the cost is acute, painful, visible. But if he's wrong, if 2026 is just another year, the cost is slower, quieter, almost invisible. And those are the costs that actually take people out. Not the loud crashes, the quiet decades. So back to where we started. Kiyosaki may be right about 2026. He may be wrong. He's been calling this for 24 years. Eventually, he'll be right. Eventually, everyone is. But here's what's true right now. Not as a prediction, as a fact. The Strait of Hormuz has been functionally closed since February 2026. Crude oil hit $120 a barrel, the largest oil supply shock in history of the global market. For the first time in decades, oil is being settled in yuan, in dirham, in currencies that are not dollars. The dollar isn't dying. Let me say this clearly. The dollar still clears the majority of global trade and the overwhelming majority of foreign exchange, but the structure is under stress. The infrastructure for alternatives that didn't exist a decade ago exists now. It's small, it's growing, and every geopolitical shock makes it grow a little bit more. This is not a crash. This is a slow version. The Roman version. The melting cube version. The Daenerys version. The wealthy that Kiyosaki described, the ones waiting to buy the assets on sale, they aren't waiting on a crash. They're already buying quietly across cycles while everyone else is watching the stock market for the event that confirms it's safe to act. There's no event coming. There's a trend, and the trend is already underway. When the music slows down, and it is slowing down, the only question that matters is who owns the assets, cube or coin, river or riverbed, sunlight organisms or vent. If you're watching this and you have the income but you don't have the architecture, that's not not a personality flaw. That's a design problem. The design problem can be fixed. And we built a free assessment called Where Your Wealth Breaks. It takes less than 3 minutes, and it tells you exactly which part of your wealth structure is most exposed right now and which part is the closest to being vent strong. It's free. It takes less than 3 minutes. The link is in the description. Take it and sit with the answer and come back and tell me what it surfaced, because the year of the reset, we'll find out. But the architecture you built between now and then, that's not a forecast. That's a choice.
Thanks for listening to the First of the Valley podcast. We hope today's conversation left you feeling inspired and maybe even equipped with one idea you can take with you as you turn earned income into own income and build something that actually lasts.
If today's conversation resonates, here's how you can support the show and help it reach more families, investors, and entrepreneurs who are creating a lasting legacy. Hit follow and share this episode with someone who's thinking beyond themselves and into generations after them.
And if you're feeling generous, leave a review. Means more than you know. Those few words help the right listeners find these conversations right when they need it most. By doing this, you're helping families build legacy, certainty, and continuity.
For show notes, links, and resources from today's episode, head to thekittysisters.com.